Welcome to the Dad's Night Podcast, where ridiculous becomes reality. We're your dad hosts. I'm Chris Parrish.
I'm Tommy Reed.
Today, we're joined by Ryan and Matt Khalil, two handsome brothers and former NFL greats who just launched their tequila brand, Celaya, which we will taste on air tonight. We'll talk through the story behind Celaya, why they decided to build a tequila brand, and the bumps in the road on their way to a hugely successful launch last week. We'll talk raising four kids with Ryan and get insights from Matt on how to become the world's greatest uncle. We'll also ask a question every friend of the pod wants to know. Is Tommy coaching this coming Saturday in the Super Bowl at SoFi Stadium at 11:20 a.m.? This podcast is brought to you by the Believe Network.
That music, man. It's just incredible.
Tommy, we haven't done this in 3 weeks. We're all amped up tonight. We got great guests. There's a lot of stuff happening. Let's get right to it. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's first off, this past weekend was so exhausting.
It was exhausting.
Let's get into our three W's.
Okay.
And we actually, for this section, Chris, what just happened?
This is the greatest moment of my life. We have a sponsor, paying sponsor for this segment.
Ka-ching! All right, folks, we got our first sponsor for the 3W section of where you're going, what you're doing, and what you're excited about, brought to you by Postal.io. Hey, dads, what's the easiest way to delight your customers and prospects? Sending one-of-a-kind corporate gifts with Postal offline marketing software. Postal helps companies to create meaningful connections at scale while tracking it all in your CRM. Yeah, who knew? Learn more and get a free trial at postal.io/dads. What's that link?
It is postal.io/dads.
That's right, Chris.
The deal of the century.
It is.
I can't wait to use this.
So thank you, postal.io. You are our official first sponsor. We appreciate you. And all of our friends of the pod, because that's where it's coming from. Our numbers are up through the roof right now.
Huge numbers. It's our first week on the Believe Network.
It is. And we got signed by the Believe Network. So if you believe, we do too at the Believe Network. So very excited right now. I'm sweating. I think I'm detoxing Memorial Day booze.
What'd you do this weekend?
Man,
it was a long one.
My liver needs a vacation. Yeah.
We're drinking three kinds of alcohol today.
Yeah. So I think I need the shampoo effect. But yeah. Yeah, look, so Memorial Day weekend, I always like to stay in Manhattan Beach. You obviously left and went to the hot-ass desert.
I was in the desert for a night. Came back.
Too much.
Sunday night to actually attend an Angel City game.
Whoa, what was that
Bank
like?
Bank of California. It's fantastic. A buddy of mine, friend of the pod, Ryan Khalil, is a co-owner.
Friend of the pod.
Also sitting to my left. And we had great seats. The field box, I think they're called. We did a daddy-daughter trip. Crazy. They get to eat all kinds of food, which is free for them. You're right on the field watching the action. It's unbelievable. And I've been to two games. I feel like the crowds are getting bigger and better. And
where do they play?
Bank of California
Stadium. Oh, where the LAFC plays.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
What a great stadium to begin with.
It was great.
It's so apropos because it's right in the heart of USC. And obviously that's where our guests went to school today.
That's where they matriculated. You know? That's right, in college. Right. We'll get to that in a little bit. I did a little networking at the game. I won't drop any names, but people are all over me, Tommy, about the pod.
Yeah, well, so, you know, hopefully they're friends of the pod.
Yeah, they will be soon. What'd you do?
Sunday was a pool day barbecue at Randy Wilson's house. Big friend of the pod. Made these two awesome briskets, and we had some Pappy Van Winkle 15, which I never had before, and we proceeded to have a good time. And then Monday was Cabana Palooza, where you go down to Marine Street and you pop up your cabana and you bring your cooler down there and you let your kids just run all throughout the beach.
There were how many of us yesterday at the beach? 5,000 people we knew.
Do we talk now?
No,
is
you
this
can
the
talk
part
whenever
where
you
we
want.
Talk?
Sorry.
I didn't know if we get introduced first.
Well,
I don't know.
Yes. Well, we'll introduce you in a little bit.
Okay,
but
got
you
it.
You can speak freely.
I didn't know if it was right. Like we're not here yet and this is like the lead up to
we
it.
We were mesmerized by the banter, which I understand.
I was.
Yeah.
Sorry, what was the question?
At the beach yesterday. You
at
were there
the beach,
as well.
Yes.
Manhattan Beach.
There was a lot of people.
There were a lot
there.
Of people there.
There was tons.
You missed
a lot of kids.
I did miss out.
You didn't miss the kids. You're okay.
A lot of kids, a lot of married people.
Yeah.
Not really your scene, Matt.
No. No. But it was a good time.
Single SOB. Yeah. It was a great time.
Friend of the pod brought his, what's that thing called?
It's basically a weed whacker that mixes daiquiris and margaritas.
Brought a gas-powered blender to the beach. Amazing.
Does he own this company?
No, I don't think he does.
This is going to be a friend of the pod sponsorship. Yeah, we got going on here.
if anybody can make it happen.
We can do some giveaways and everything.
I don't know, with gas prices, that was the most expensive margarita I ever had.
He shouldn't have got the diesel one. That didn't make any sense. And it's so smelly.
Or solar powered. He should have had like Elon Musk create a solar powered one for him.
He's on his margarita maker. He's working on that. Tommy, let's get an update.
Let's do it. We are in the SoFi Championship. So here we are, the BCS Flag Football Championship. It's the Buckeyes versus the Auburn Tigers. And we're the number one ranked team. We are 7-0-1, so we had tied, and our one tie was to the Tigers. So I'm the defensive coach, and obviously Van is our offensive specialist coach and our head coach. And we're just really super excited to the point
now,
where...
I checked. I was doing some research on this game. It turns out these teams do not like each other. Is that true?
Well, I don't know.
That's a better story.
I don't know anyone on their team, so, yeah, so I mean,
you don't like them at all.
If they don't like us, it's because we're just champions. I mean, you know, we're undefeated. So I would think that, you know, they have a good coach, but they're a kind of a two-headed horse, and we have about five or six ballers. So my whole goal on defense is to take out the quarterback and the wide receiver, who's their everything, with my three front linemen. If I can get blitzing on the edges and my bull rush for my biggest kid in the middle.
These kids are eight. This is BCS flag football.
It's great. It's fantastic.
This is bad coaching on his part, giving all this away on the pod. Hopefully they're not friends of the pod.
That's actually a good point.
Good point. I don't think they are friends of the pod.
Okay.
Yeah.
Belichick would be so upset with his interview right now.
Yeah, it's true.
So we're going to blitz every third down.
Well, there's code names, and they don't know which code name is the real blitz code name. So,
it's at 11:20... SoFi Saturday, you're getting a party bus, right?
Yeah, party bus is already booked with the bathroom.
Ooh,
that's
key.
Bathroom on that party bus.
That's key. Nice.
That's key.
Well, so, I'm rooting for you. We're going to try to get there. I'm pretty sure I'll be. I have a little soccer tournament this weekend, but I think we'll be done by then. But all right, so now we'll get into some conversation with Ryan and Matt Khalil. The two brothers started at USC as offensive linemen before being drafted by the NFL and having hugely successful NFL careers. For today's podcast, however, we'll mostly talk about Celaya, the tequila brand Ryan and Matt launched 2 weeks ago. You can find out more about this tasty beverage on the internet at drinkcelaya.com. That's C-E-L-A-Y-A. All three varieties of Celaya, Blanco, Reposado, y Añejo, are tremendous, and we implore you to try them. They're really, really good. All right, now back to the Dad's Night podcast. What's next, Tommy?
Well, I think what we got to do is open up some beers and then start talking about what's going on here in this amazing Añejo that I see right in front of me. But first, we're going to bring you some sour beers. This is from Salt Lake City. This is a Shades Brewery. One of the friends of the pod, Kenny Schmazel, brought us some Shades beer. And we're going to continue to promote them because as long as they send us free beer, we're going to drink it. So here we are. It's a sour. Hope you guys enjoy it. And
how's this stuff for?
Oh, that's good.
There you go. That was the best noise right there.
This is a piña colada, American style sour ale.
It's like candy. It's sour, and it's refreshing. It's a beach beer.
Matt's so disappointed in this right now.
What do you think?
He's not usually a beer guy, so I'm curious to know what he thinks.
Yeah, it's like it's got some like a little Jolly Rancher tang to it.
Yeah,
not bad.
Yeah, all the young single ladies are drinking these beers.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Is that word on the street? All right,
that's the word I need on my
now. Matt's like 2% body fat right now. Will this keep him in line?
No, this is all you. You've already had enough.
Yeah,
you probably just gained a pound. Actually, That's not part of your... You need to be clinically obese. Like
alcohol makes you dehydrated, right? So isn't that what I'm going for?
Oh, there you go.
Right?
Yeah. Nice. Tighten her up.
Yeah, get all the fluid out a little bit.
I noticed you were jump roping in my shower when I came in. I thought that was weird, but you got to drop a couple LBs.
Just a little pump.
So thank you to Shades Brewing. This is good.
It's great. It's fantastic, and they knew that the Khalil brothers were coming on today, so they wanted to give us some beers to taste and talk about it. But what's, to me, the most exciting thing to talk about is... how you guys are badass offensive lineman brothers that played in the greatest league of all sports, the NFL. You come from a football family, and now you guys are back in the West Coast, and you guys are now out of football, retired, but you're kicking ass in a new business that has nothing to do with football. So talk to me about this brand new tequila you guys have right here.
Yeah, it's kind of been a long journey. I mean, we got into this way before every celebrity and their mom started making tequilas.
Yeah, you guys are pioneers.
Let's just make sure that's very clear. Mm-hmm. We didn't jump on that bandwagon. Mm-hmm. No, Matt and I, we're kind of mutts. We come from Lebanese background, but really a large Mexican family. And so the tequila heritage runs deep for us. And we... been around it all our lives, thought it would be a fun idea to have. You know, we had family who had relationship with a distillery in Jalisco, and we got to know them very well. And,
how long ago
and
was that?
Great people. I mean, probably like 6-7 years ago now. It's been a minute. And you know, early on started talking about what a family bottle would be, what we would name it. So on my dad's side, their family name is Celaya.
Yep.
They come from a town right over the Arizona-Mexico border called Sonoita. We were really close with our grandmother, Frescia Celaya, later became Khalil, and she told us a lot of stories about growing up in Sonoita and the hot Mexican son of Sonora, Mexico, and just a ton of stories about family and especially her grandfather, Jose Celaya. And we always loved them. And, you know, family stories are always fun, especially the farther back the generations go, the legends become bigger and bigger. And we always kind of love that. And whether they're true or not, there's some kind of seed in there that we feel like probably rubbed off on us somewhere down the road.
Yeah.
But just a really... just a really great family, hardworking, very loyal, instilled a great work ethic in us younger, even before we ever got into sports. Right. And so we always carried that with us. And so there was something about the figure of Jose Celaya that we thought would be fun to put into it. So we had the original bottle was this kind of really bespoke leather wrapped bottle. We called it Los Hermanos de Jose Celaya, the brothers of Jose, right, just sure. Kind of pay homage to him. And it was a huge hit. We did like 1,000 bottles, and everybody loved it, and everybody kind of prodded us to maybe look at it more serious. And so we decided to do a small batch run and really focus here in Southern California and take the next step and see where it goes. So it's not... widely distributed yet. We'll see how it goes here. We got roots here. We love the idea of building a brand around where we grew up, both in family heritage and in this beautiful sunshine state.
Yeah.
We're just going to start rolling it out in the next month. So it'll be retail on premise, but right now you can get it online. Our e-commerce ships directly to you. There's certain states we can go to, certain states we can't. It gets a little tricky, but so far we've been a week going, and it's been going well.
I mean, the launch party week and a half ago,
yeah,
was pretty great.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Where was it at?
It was at Ryan's house, and the response to the tequila, I would say, was positive.
Strong to quite strong.
It was one of the slowest Sundays in Manhattan Beach history.
Yeah.
I asked you if you needed something, and you said, let's get some churros for the party. So I went and got some churros, and I was dropping them off, and I took a look at the two-bar setup. And I came right home to Amy. I said, listen, you got to watch your step tonight, because this is going to get festive, and I need you to eat something right now. She didn't do any of this. But it was a great party, and, you know, people celebrating tequila, but also celebrating, like, you guys. Right?
We had a good group of friends and family.
It tastes amazing. I'm going to pretend that I don't know so I can taste it here in a minute, but...
Well, I wasn't invited, so I can't wait to taste this.
Yeah, but we're going to keep going for a little bit just to create some suspense for you.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Although you're right next to it.
Yeah, it's got chilled and everything.
So, it was awesome launch. Fantastic, super festive. Were you involved in the beginning? Was it Ryan's idea, or and you came along, or were you guys both just sort of been talking about this, or?
We both really love tequila.
Yeah.
Ever since we can start drinking, especially me, like I've been more introverted my whole life, and tequila has always been that drink to kind of get me going. In the younger days. But if my friends were able to get me out, but no, just having the Mexican heritage and being around that my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, Ryan and I, we'd always talked about it and just decided to do it. So it was, he's more the creative side. So like branding and stuff like that, he's into Hollywood and filmmaking and all that. So his creative process,
he's an artist.
It's pretty cool to see and how he thinks things through and comes up with great ideas. And you know, it's taught me a lot along the way. Kind of taking a bigger role too. So that's been a big learning curve, but it's been fun. I would say probably this is the closest my brother and I have been since. Since we were kids, he was, you know, 5-6 years ahead of me and everything we did.
And he didn't like you growing up, is that?
Huh?
You said that, right? Is that true? No?
It depends. I mean, if you ask him about the collector toys he would have had right now if I didn't play with them in the bathtub and ruin them all. I don't know what he thinks about that. But
I love little brothers.
That's a whole nother pod.
That's our family therapy.
I think he still resents me a little bit for that. No, but I think as soon as we played together in Carolina, that's kind of where we developed a closer bond and spent a lot more time together. So I think since then, it's the journey's been pretty fun, and you know, I've learned a tremendous amount from him.
Do you guys go down together to Mexico to see where it's all taking place and brewed and the plants, the agave plants and everything, and like actually look at the farms of the agave plants together?
Yeah, it's a pretty surreal experience, pretty holistic kind of process of really seeing from how long it takes the agave to grow to the entire process.
How long does that
take? Distilling. I mean, it just depends on how mature they are, but I think it's anywhere from like 8 to 14 years, right?
Wow. And fully it looks like grown a cactus, agave. Right? The agave?
Looks like an aloe vera plant.
Yeah, it looks like an enormous aloe vera plant, and they chop it down in it to the pina, and it kind of looks like a big pineapple. And they cook it in almost like a pizza oven, mash it up, get all the sugars out of it, and then they distill it just like any other spirit. And then, you know, depending on what kind of agave you use, what kind of barrels you age them in really changes the taste profile. And so that's how you get the different kind of distinctive tastes from tequila to tequila.
So you guys had a lead on a distillery down there, and then... Was it coincidence that it also tasted like something you guys were looking for? Or did you
that's part of the process. It's, you know, when we first started talking to them about it, it was really getting to understand what our taste profile was, what they sort of tend to lean towards, what they could do, what they couldn't do. And then from there, it was just literally us tasting for like a year.
Yeah.
And we had parties with friends and teammates and stuff. So it was kind of a fun process. There was a really cool communal aspect to it that I just really enjoyed with friends and family that you just couldn't help but continue that momentum into what it became today. Because we just kept taking the next step. And then it was like, well, once we found the one everybody loved, we started doing blind taste tests with other tequilas and famous tequilas. And so it was kind of fun to see people choose ours and for us internally to choose ours.
Like, did you put it up against like Dos Artes and like 1492 or whatever those?
Especially against Evan Cassio.
Sir Evan Cassio.
Friend of the pod.
Yeah, friend of the pod.
You know, we're really finding tequila connoisseurs that we knew in our personal group, putting them up against their favorite tequilas and seeing, you know, really, it's funny because real tequila drinkers who love to sip it and really enjoy it, they know it so well that they, even though they like it, they can tell which one is theirs and which one isn't the one that they really love. And we've gotten like that too. So it's also been fun to see consumers change their taste profiles and their palates. I mean, I couldn't tell you early on in life the difference between any tequila or wine, right. You know, for that matter. But obviously, the more you become accustomed to it, the more you understand.
I mean, it's really been the last eight, I don't think I had a tequila I liked before like 8 years ago, right. Probably. And then, I mean, it's amazing just to think about it now where, you know, I mean, I didn't actually grow up drinking anything, but then just beer. Then everybody went through a bourbon thing, right? Bourbon's still good, but just the different profiles that you get. I think the first kind of quote-unquote good tequila I had was 1942. And then Evan introduced us to Dos Artes a couple summers ago when you could get it for $90 at Costco at a liter, which seems like a long time ago. And just the sweetness or like the punch, you know, of La Familia, for example, mm-hmm. almost like a peppery thing. And I tend to gravitate towards like the smooth, vanilla-y sort of flavors. So this is, Tommy, you're going to love it.
I can't wait. And
should we just do this?
Well, yeah, because like it's funny because when I had the Doble Cristalino, that was the first tequila I had that was basically came from a bourbon barrel.
Right.
And I was like, this is unbelievable. Let me smell this here. Thank you, Matt. Oh, wow. It smells sweet, too.
Yeah. We're going to enjoy this.
All right, folks. This is a beautiful bottle, too. It's like something that I think after you're done with it, you'd like want to keep it. And I'd actually serve like water out of it all the time because it's like a nice, heavy quality glass bottle. It's beautiful and has a nice cork to it. So, Matt, I'll let you do the honors of pouring us all shotskis here.
Heavy pours on the podcast.
Gentleman's pour.
So, for our listeners, again, you can go to, is it Celaya.com?
Yeah, drinkcelaya.com.
Drinkcelaya.com. I keep on saying Celaya. I don't know why I'm doing
Celaya.
That's all right.
Well, you're not Hispanic like us three.
From New Jersey, what's my fault? but here we go. So, what does it cost,
Matt? So
this is the añejo we're drinking here.
Yeah, right? Our añejo is 89, our reposado is 55, and our blanco is 49.
Is MSRP. That because añejo takes the longer time to?
Yeah, okay. It's just añejo.
Cheers.
All right, here we go. This is the first. We haven't done any shots on the pod, so
I'm
here we go.
Sip it.
I'm gonna sip it.
You sip it. Okay. Yeah.
See, we can still educate the Jersey guys, too.
Yeah, he's going to.
Yeah. Well, look, you know.
He's walking
not,
over here.
I might not pump my gas, but I can pump my fist. That is delicious.
Isn't that really good?
Oh, my gosh. That is like, it doesn't burn you when it goes mm-mm. down. It's like, I think that is, that's like a fucking sipping tequila that is amazing.
Yeah.
And you did have it chilled a little bit because
I
felt the bottle.
I did. I like it a little
was
bit
it
chilled.
Was it in the fridge?
Yeah. It was in the fridge, yeah. Okay.
That is fantastic.
I mean, you were talking earlier about just sort of like the camaraderie is the wrong word, but just sort of like getting together with friends and sharing stuff.
Yeah,
and,
it's like doing a Survey Monkey with your buddies. And you're like, you're having them input. And I'd like to know, like, when you're doing that process of getting your buddies together, which sounds like a blast every time, sounds like your tastings are great. But how do you know? Like, don't listen to Tommy. Tommy's a fucking lush. He'll just say it's always great to your face and not really verify his word. Like, did you really ask your buddies to, like, be honest with me, be critical? And like,
it was a blind. Well, the blind taste test, they have no choice. They don't know. So we would number the bottom of the cups, and then we'd fill them all up with different tequilas. And then we'd even, like, change the order from person to person. So not everybody was always drinking the same one the same time because – also, too, when you start drinking a few of them, a few different ones, it starts kind of messing with your taste palate.
Sure.
So we would, you know, Matt's four tequilas he would taste were different than mine. They were all the same, but they were different order.
Right.
And so it was fun to see people throw out different numbers. And when we go to check, they would all pretty much line up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so fun. Did you guys film any of it?
I don't know if we did.
We
took pictures.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's just keep
doing
it.
That's so fun, man. Like, to own your own tequila and to, like, get that input from, like, your friends and family seems like a really cool thing. And now you've made, I mean, when can you enter this into, like, the competition to get its first, like, gold? Is it gold medal or double gold?
Yeah, I don't know. It's been a long road, and just getting it out there so far is still, it's a whole nother beast. You know, it's a competitive market, and that's why we're starting here at home. And it's been fun to see the response to it just in our community here. And then as we're starting to expand out in Los Angeles and obviously elsewhere, but Matt's being modest. I mean, I do tend to drive creative. I love the packaging, the branding, the design element of it. And then obviously the storytelling part of it is really important to me. But that's the easy part. Matt's been doing all the hard work and the work he's done from coordinating with all the different, you know, vendors and processes and distributors.
And you're just learning as you go, right? Like,
it's a whole new learning process. Yeah. It's exciting though.
Yeah.
You know, we have a really good team that have tremendous amount of experience in the alcohol business. So learning from them. And
Matt told me the first week, kind of all the processes got put on him. He's like, God, I feel like a rookie again.
I was just like, yeah. No, it's a lot. But, you know, I'm never, you know, too shy away from a challenge or no question's too dumb for me to ask. Yeah. If I don't understand, if I don't know it, I'm going to ask these guys and use the resources that we have and, you know, do it to the best of my ability. So it's been exciting, though.
I mean, it's tremendous. Tommy, I probably need a little refill here.
Oh, absolutely.
Matt had more resiliency is the only thing. Like, if he could have played a position that was like a pressure cooker, you know, like a left tackle, you know what I mean? Like, if he could have had that kind of experience where
we had to go down to win the game.
Speaking of resiliency, Matt, I wanted to ask this because it's dear to my heart. You lived in Minnesota. You were drafted by the Vikings.
Yeah.
You enjoyed Minnesota.
Yeah, no, I enjoy Minnesota. I don't mind the cold. The summers are great there.
Yeah.
Beautiful place.
Beautiful women.
Beautiful women.
My wife, friend of the pod.
Winters are fun. Just the cold. The cold is my first year there.
It's
was
so cold.
It was -70 wind chill. And I'm coming from Southern California, fresh off the plane. Like, where am I?
Pretty
brutal. Right now.
And Tommy, you just went ice fishing in Minnesota in January.
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
February.
It sounds crazy, but part of the bucket list is that all of our I went to Ohio State, and we all wanted to get together. And my buddy, who played hockey for Ohio State, lives in outside of Minneapolis, and then has a lake house 3.5 hours north in Lake Clamshell by Nisswa.
Right.
And so we went up there, and we went ice fishing one day, and then snowmobiling the next day. I mean, we got hammered the whole time. I mean, a lot of drinking in Minnesota. Period. Yeah. But I can imagine what the summers are like out there. I mean, it was just incredible. So, but it was like -30 out.
Yeah.
Like literally negative
30
in February.
I got married in Minnesota on a lake. And this was in August of that year, 10 years ago. And then 4 months later, I drove across that lake. Like, it was just.
What lake?
Side Lake.
Okay.
Near beautiful Hibbing, Minnesota.
Okay.
The iron ore capital of the world.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Birthplace of Bob Dylan. Actually, he was born in Duluth, but he grew up in
Duluth, sure.
Yeah.
Just so our listeners understand this, what's going on here, to give you a sense of size, what's like, I'm among giants right here. I mean, like, my co-host, Chris Parrish, is 6'3".
I'm only the third tallest person in this garage right now. I think you're
taller. Ryan, are you 6'5"?
I'm not, no.
6'4"?
Like, what was I listed in the program or combine height?
Well, what?
Like today.
Oh, I guess. Okay.
It's a lot of different heights to play with.
Yeah. Program 6'3", combine height 6'2.5".
Okay. And you are all 6'7"?
Around 6'7", 6'8".
Yeah, 6'8". Yeah, that's humongous. And you guys have both been all pros in the NFL. You were drafted number 4 overall to Minnesota.
Yeah.
That traded their pick to go down and still were able to get you in that draft. And then you were second round pick 59 in the second round.
First center taken.
Do you guys ever kind of like drink your tequila and talk about like, hey, like we're both fucking first rounders of our position? That's pretty fucking epic.
Well, I was not a first rounder. He was a first rounder.
No, I mean like the first position.
Thanks for rubbing that in.
Come on, Ryan. You know what I'm talking about. Seats of tequila. No, but like first center taken. That's incredible.
He made up for it with six All Pros, six Pro. How many Pro Bowls?
Yeah,
five Pro Bowls. Or
been in a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
played in a Super Bowl. Started a Super Bowl.
Lost a Super Bowl.
I would
won all the national championships.
Does Cam?
My grandmother
ever get one of these?
Died too. Do you want to talk about that?
Is Cam ever going to get one of these?
Oh, do we send it to Cam?
Cam?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's actually got a really cool cigar bar in Atlanta.
So nice.
There will definitely be Salaya Tequila.
Oh, I think we should go there and investigate.
What about CMC? Does he have a bottle of this too?
When does this pod come out?
Thursday.
You want me to hold it off?
Yeah, let's hold it off.
Okay.
All right.
Till Christian gets his bottle.
Till Christian gets his bottle.
Got it. You also wrote a book called the Rookie Handbook.
Yeah, I wrote it with some buddies.
Talk about that. It's supposed to be like a funny tale into the rookie.
Yeah,
the rookie.
I got some extra copies. I'll bring some over for you.
We'd love that.
Yeah, it was fun.
I guess I'll learn to read.
It's kind of like the tequila story. It started as sort of a fun little funny project that we had the rookies every year. You know, when you come in the league, there's expectations of you of what your duties are to the group.
Right.
And some teams take it further than others. They, you know, there's some teams that go full on hazing, and we're just not about that, at least in the groups that I was in. So for us, it was more of a rite of passage, but you sort of had these rookie duties that you had to accomplish for your rookie season. And it was like, you know, make sure to order lunch for the group on Thursdays. You don't have to pay for it, but you're in charge of the order. And make sure that, we have drinks and supplies in the O-line room, and make sure that there's burritos brought on the plane on Saturday. Make sure.
It's just a rule of life.
It's just a rule of life. Yeah, simple things. And then the extra stuff we do is like, you know, it's a grueling season. Sure. Every year it gets really hard towards the end of the year, especially if your record's not great. So you try to find little things that keep your spirits high and keep you grinding away. So we enjoyed decorating the O-line room during the different seasons. So
nice.
We wanted the room decorated for Thanksgiving. We wanted it decorated for Christmas. We wanted it decorated
for the
new
year. And you had to do the decorating.
Year. The rookies had to do the decorating. So these are one of many examples of things that aren't really a lot that we ask of. Some guys go further than that. They say carry my pads and all that stuff. I was never that guy. I had some dicks that were only there a year with me, and that's a whole other story. But anyways, it became a lot. And you'd have rookies that you would explain all these things to, and they would always forget. And so we started having rookies write it down. And so we kind of had like an official handbook for the rookies. And I think after it became like 15 pages, we started getting real philosophical and started talking about these really abstract ideas about how to stay long in the pros and like how to be a pro. And we had such a good time writing it down. And some of it was really humorous and voice, and we just thought this would make a great book. And so we really expanded on it and turned it into like 200 pages and shopped it around, and the publishers ate it up. And then I had a buddy in Carolina, Matt Stevens, who's a really talented illustrator, and said, nah, this feels like it wants to be a heavily illustrated book. You know, jocks aren't that smart. And so we thought, let's dumb it down and especially USC jocks and really make it visual. And so that's what we did. So it was a fun, really visual thing. And a lot of it is still relevant to today.
See, so that to me sounds, why don't you say, you're in the film business, let's make an animation with it.
Yeah, I've been pitched this, but let's hear your pitch, because I haven't found one that's been good enough to pursue.
Well, no, I mean,
I don't mean that condescending either.
I'm in the industry too.
I genuinely want to know.
So what
your idea of this
is put it in, I would use the Tongo platform and have filmmakers basically put their RFP, you're basically filtering out an RFP for it to solicit, and you could say, I either have a set budget, I'll make this document or make this book into a 90-minute or 60-minute movie, and I have a set budget, or they could tell you it's called open bid, and then they could tell you what they could do this for. You're probably not going to get a lot of New York, LA, or Chicago animators, but that's why you have Bulgaria, Malaysia, other places in I won't say Ukraine anymore, but like you had a lot of filmmakers outside of the United States that would do pennies to the dollar, and you found scale there. So you might be like, I don't want to spend $1 million, but you don't have to. You can say, I'm going to spend $50,000. That's all I'm going to put for this movie. Cause that book sounds, if it's still relevant today, that means it has legs.
Yep.
And there's something heartfelt in there that you created that is worthy to just do a little bit of digging. So we could talk offline about that, but I had a note in here. I'm like, I got to hear this because it sounds like it's pretty awesome.
I'll get you a copy, and we'll see if you feel the same way.
By the way, I'm on my second shot
I like this. This is where things start turning.
And I'm sipping it, and I'm feeling, man, I think I just grew to like 6'1" right now. I'm almost, I'm going to be
all sending jobs overseas. Yeah. It's awesome.
Well.
So the legend of Jose Celaya coursing through your veins a little bit.
We could even do that.
Jose was known for his animation.
And looking for Mexican animators, which there's a whole new group out of there, too.
There's a lot of talented Mexican animators.
We have a whole affiliate company down there, too. So there's a lot going on. Do you guys ever bust each other's balls on, like, who ran the faster 40?
He was faster than me.
Always.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Dude, okay.
What do you mean?
So,
we played beach football the other day.
No, you're right.
You saw me.
It's true.
You open it up a little bit?
He was quick.
By the way, I looked over there for a second, too.
We did win.
Who was trying to guard you? The guy was like my height. He's 5'9".
You were decoy because I had Evan run a square in the end zone. Jesus. You had fentanyl.
I did have fentanyl.
He's not fast.
What's it like?
He knows some scary moves, though, in jiu-jitsu, so I don't
know. Yeah, which is illegal in beach football.
Were you both on the Panthers Super Bowl team?
No.
Just you, Ryan?
Just me.
So what's it like getting geared up for that whole media week and going into a Super Bowl? And it's in California, your home state.
Yeah, it
was
a lot.
Was the whole family there?
Yeah, everybody was there. It's exhausting. You know, it's funny. I tried my best, and I know a lot of other guys did, and we tried to share a lot of it. But you go into it trying to find as many of your mentors who have experienced it, as many relationships as you have that have sort of been part of that can really give you any nugget of information and how to best approach it, because it is a nerve-wracking thing. You know, you sort of, the whole culmination of your, you know, sport is to make it to that big show and to win it. And not just get there, but to win it, you know?
Right.
So it's tough because you want to enjoy it, but you also are trying to get down to business and really focus in and take as many of your guys with you. And so, we talked to a lot of guys who'd been there, guys who'd won, guys who'd lost. And a lot of the advice was really the same, which was find moments to enjoy of it, but don't get so caught up that you get distracted by the task at hand. And then the other part of that was really, really find ways to get your rest and to shut your brain off and to shut the emotions off, because it is so draining and you don't want to be limping into that game emotionally and physically. So it was tough. It was a hard balance because you're excited to be there. You're trying to make memories off the field with the guys and really soak it in. Plus you have all the obligations that the NFL has for you, whether it be media or events. And then you're in a new place. So, you know, athletes in all sports, we're so superstitious, and guys like to admit it more than others. And the guys who don't are full of shit. Like they like, you know, they call it routine, but there's a little bit of superstition into your routine. And so, you know, whether you play away or at home, for the most part during the week, you have your same routine at your home facility. And when you take that away, it really challenges you to try to find it again in a foreign place. So we were practicing at San Jose State and we were staying at a hotel in San Jose. So, I mean, you're already out of your element. You're there for a week. And so you're trying to figure out your routine that you can keep, while also navigating all the NFL stuff, while also you got your family and friends there and everybody's super excited. And so it's really tough to kind of find your silos and that's just for one person. And then you hope to God the rest of the team is also trying to do the same, and you can't control everybody.
Right.
And so I think a younger, inexperienced team probably doesn't understand that, you know. I think that's why there's a team, you know, that comes in there that's been there before. They really know how to
Navigate the 2 weeks. Right?
Navigate the 2 weeks and to really sort of silo all the different aspects of it in a way that is beneficial for the goal at hand. And so that was the toughest thing. I mean, all that being said, I still think we were ready. I think we just couldn't get in a rhythm and we just didn't play our best game. You know, one of our goals for that game was to keep Cam safe early on, and we didn't do a good job of that. And so they got him off of his mark. And even then, we still were scoring, and the defense was playing lights out. They gave us a ton of chances. We started stringing some drives together, and just we couldn't finish it out. We had the one touchdown early on, and then we'd drive 60, 70 yards, fumble. We'd drive 30, 40 yards, turnover. So we had a lot of turnovers, and we just couldn't finish it out.
Yeah.
When you talk about preparing yourself mentally – when you had your Super Bowl 50, how many kids did you have at that time? Did you have any kids yet?
Yeah, I had...
Because I know you have four, but were all four born at the time, or two?
I think Brett was three. I think I had three born then.
So, like, what was that kind of pressure that you had to deal with? Like you said, like, you got to worry about all this other stuff and still be a dad to three kids at the time and be a loving husband, like, but you're separated. You're distancing yourself. How did you try to find comfort in talking to your family and spending time with them when you really couldn't spend time with them?
Yeah, it's probably easier than you think. I just think because that was probably towards the second half of my career. You know, my family has already kind of been used to what the routines were. And I think being the Super Bowl, everybody kind of, at least in my family, everybody really kept their distance and didn't really, I think they were really nervous for me. And so they wanted to make sure they weren't bothering the reason for anything. Right. And so they really let me drive it in a way that I was really grateful for. So I never felt that pressure of anybody. My wife handled all the tickets and all that stuff. I kind of put it off on her. She is. So I didn't deal with any of the family stuff. I told them, here's my days off. Here's when I can come see you. And so we made it work that way. And then outside of that,
what are you enjoying most now? You're retired. You're very busy, but you're retired. Old retired man. With the four kids, and I've told you this multiple times, that you have the four most polite kids I have ever met. You've done a great job uncling Matt. Way to go.
Uncle Matt's a big part of that.
Yeah.
But what are you enjoying most now that you maybe didn't get to do because you were playing or you were busy? You know, that, you know, COVID, it's not the same, but like being at home, COVID, I love going to pickup. I love to shoot the shit with the other parents while we're waiting, and I just love seeing the kids come out. You know, when I was driving to San Monica every day, I couldn't do that. As an example. Yeah, I need some more Celaya. Thank you. What are you enjoying about being home more? Thank you.
I think having the freedom to come and go as I please, to be able to pick up in the middle of a week and take the family somewhere if school allows it, the not feeling the kind of, Matt and I always joke, it's like a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
The NFL seasons, you get done with the season, and then there's a clock that starts until spring ball, and then spring ball is over. Then there's a clock that until summer and training camp. And then there's a clock until the end of the season, you know, or that week or whatever. So there's always some kind of obligation that you really have to focus in on. And the off seasons are nice. They kind of give you a lot more freedom. But I think, you know, during the year, you're there all day. You're at the facility. You're practicing and draining yourself mentally, studying film. You get home in a decent hour, but it's tough, man, because you gotta turn it off and you gotta rest up for the next day, especially as you get older. So that's always been hard because you gotta come home and play dad too and be there and be present, but you're like, you're ready to shut it off. So you really don't have time for your personal stuff. The personal stuff really, when you have kids during the football season, it's for them. So and it's hard because I will say, like, I can't stress how important rest is.
Yeah.
You know, there's no like powering through it, because then you start getting a deficit and you feel like you're playing catch up. You know, when you have late nights or you decide to power through something or go do something extracurricular, even with the kids, you know, you want to go coach or do something like that. It's, you know, you got to get off your feet and you got to rest. So that was always a challenge, which was like accepting the fact that dad's home, he's going to hang with you for a little bit, but then he's off to bed the same time you are going to bed for school the next day.
That's great.
And so not having that and knowing I could stay up later and go do stuff with the kids and not feeling that pressure of, I got to get ready. I can skip a workout if I want to. I've skipped many with you.
I don't think I've ever seen you work out, actually.
Yeah. So... I mean, not like this guy.
No. We're going to get to this in a minute.
Will we get his shirt off by the end of this pod? Might.
Ladies!
You've seen the Instagram post.
I got a face for radio, but Matt's got a... body for video. So,
Matt, what is your Instagram handle, just so we can have all of our female listeners?
It's actually private. He's not going to give it to you.
Yeah. Oh, but he won't like.
I can. I can choose who enters. Choose,
yeah, MattKhalil69 on Instagram.
Matthew F. Khalil.
There it is.
There it is.
If you're lucky to be accepted, you could DM him for some salaya.
It's going to be a bunch of dudes in Minnesota.
Matt, did you ever like constantly like reach out to your brother? I mean, Ryan, you talked about how you guys had a bond when you guys both played together on the same line in Carolina. Did you also look up to him, Matt, and ask him like questions about like any kind of advice that he already probably would have had being in the NFL?
Oh, absolutely. And he always reached out as well, because I think when you're younger and you're like stubborn, you're a little too prideful to reach out or think you need help with something. But I think he always got a gist of when I was struggling or needed help or give me advice. But the joke he always made is he feels like I'm like him and he's in the future. And if he can go back and tell his future self what to do and what not to do is what he always said.
Dude, that's love.
Yeah, yeah.
That is genuine love, man.
I mean, just we went to the same high school, the same college, and eventually played on the same team. So, I mean, he kind of laid a pathway down just, you know, as more of a guideline for, you know, things to avoid. And ultimately, you're going to make your own mistakes. And
I will say, though, you know, there's a lot of luck that goes into sports that a lot of players don't like to talk about or they don't like to acknowledge because they want everybody to think that what they do is so special and nobody else could ever accomplish it. There's a ton of talented players that I saw that never really made it because they didn't have great mentors or great foundation, or they didn't have anybody to teach them how to be a pro. And so the one thing I'll say is like Matt went into a room in Minnesota that I knew was super young. And there was a lot of mercenary guys, like journeymen, who kind of just focus on themselves. They're not really there to kind of lend information or advice. Sure. So I knew he was kind of on his own. And I didn't have that experience in Carolina. I had a bunch of older guys that I looked up to and guys that went out of their way because I was stubborn. I mean, he's joking that he was stubborn.
Did you say you were stubborn?
I was.
In past tense, okay.
In past tense. Yeah. In that situation, especially. But Matt and I are so similar in a lot of ways, but that's one of them too, where I was so stubborn and so prideful and that I got it figured out and I could do this and that and other. And I had a lot of tough love on me from older guys. I never had an older brother. Guys like Jordan Gross, Jeff Hangartner, guys I played with in Carolina, they were so gracious and generous to give me advice even when I didn't want it. And I learned a lot from them on how to be a pro. And I could see after the fact, in hindsight, the mistakes I would have made had I not had these guys, had I not listened. And I could see Matt trending towards some of those things. And I so badly didn't want that to happen for him. And I still made mistakes and messed up and did stupid things. And so, you know, when I probably forced it when he didn't want it, a lot of it came from just the fact that that's what happened to me. And I was so grateful after the fact. Yeah. But you can't see it when you're in it, you know?
Right.
And did you take that into heart, or did you have like, was it ego a part of it, or was it like a brother ego thing? Where did that ever come into play? You're like, dude, I don't need your advice right now. I'm my own man. Or did you welcome that because you didn't have that?
No, for the most part, I always welcomed him. I mean, his resume speaks for itself. He's highly successful in what he did, and I was always watching him when I was in high school, and he's in college and all that. So no, obviously he was someone I looked up to. But and just like the same thing, just being brothers, like 90% of the time, I'm willing to accept it. But if it was on a bad day and he just felt like he had to tell me and I wasn't having any of it or anything like that. But no, it was always something I took to heart and really tried to play out and do the best of my ability. But it's a tough sport. I mean, you really got to be a pro and constantly look to increase your ability on the football field. And as soon as you can't do that and you're not performing, it's a performance-based league. I mean, you're gone. It's your job and your livelihood. And I saw a bunch of players fall into that where they thought they were owed something or they were coming from college and were a big-time player. And, you know, there are certain things they didn't want to do and not realizing, like, you're not the star in college anymore. Like, there's a lot of guys that want that job. And the biggest shock, the most shocking thing for me was my first year in the NFL, and I made all these friends, and you know, I was having a great time. And then the next year in that locker room, 80% of the team was different. Just everyone was gone. And I'm like, man, it
was
just really
the quarterback
is.
Change that you had like then?
There's a lot when you're right there, right?
Who was
your
right?
first quarterback?
My first quarterback was Christian Ponder.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, Christian Ponder, Matt Castle, Teddy Bridgewater.
Poor Teddy.
Bradford.
That's right.
Teddy would have been good, right?
Yeah, I like Teddy. Yeah. He had an unfortunate injury when I was playing there. Yeah. That was tough to see in person.
Then Bradford and then Kirk Cousins?
I wasn't there in Cousins.
So Bradford was your last quarterback?
Yeah.
And then you went over to Carolina?
Bradford, I went to Carolina, yep.
That's a lot. Yeah. There's zero consistency right there with what you just said.
Right.
Different playbook every year. I mean, with those quarterbacks.
Yeah, the offense for the most part didn't change too much. Maybe just language a little bit. But yeah, as far as just quarterback play, it's especially being on the edge. You really need to know how far your quarterback's going to drop, where he's going to be in the pocket, how long he's going to hold on to the ball. I mean, a lot of that goes into, you know, protecting those guys.
Well, that's the other thing is, when I was giving Matt advice, it was like very generic O-line, like being a pro advice. Because tackle advice, I have zero for it. That's a whole nother right. position.
That's huge.
And that's what I mean about luck. Like I was lucky enough to play center where it's nice and cozy in there. I got two big guards helping making me look good. But that tackle position, that's a life center's I want no position. Part of. I mean, you were out there.
Blindside tackle.
We'd always say this. I think cornerback and left tackle are the two hardest positions to play in all of
corner.
Corner. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're out there on an island on your own.
And you can't touch anyone.
I played yesterday
and it's a penalty.
Cornerback for two plays. I'm still
same
talking
thing.
About it.
Yeah, it's the I same thing, move. Chris. It's exactly the same thing as the NFL.
Yeah, just to relate it back to me a little bit.
How spoiled were you when you won back-to-back championships in college?
Very spoiled.
I mean, that's...
Did you guys play Michigan?
We did.
I know.
We beat him several times.
Matt Leinart caught a touchdown.
He did.
Oh, my God. Of course.
Wait, ask him what happened to us, though, when I went to USC to play because of his teammate.
Oh, right.
What happened?
Those games even count?
My teammate didn't do anything. It's the NCAA.
Yeah. They should give it back, by the way.
Unfairly put sanctions on us.
Yeah.
Can we actually go back now that they changed it and we can make up for all the years and just get paid millions for what we did
and
play there, actually?
Right. You want some post NIL money to make up for the
that's our third. We're trying to get NIL.
I need
for
that
the podcast.
for being charged for a bagel with cream cheese in the morning, and that's I got a bagel for free, but I had to pay for the cream cheese. Remember that a full ride scholarship, and I wasn't able to get a full breakfast.
Tommy, we got to get some NIL money.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad it's there, but it's just crazy how you that $1.75 you couldn't USC couldn't just eat that.
Yeah.
It's not that they couldn't eat it. It's that the NCAA didn't allow it.
Right. And now it's just like, as we said earlier, we're talking about.
I mean, it wasn't like Michigan where they just showed up with bags of money.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't happen this way in the Pac-12.
Listen, if we were getting bags of money,
raking
we should have won way
and inside
more
the
games.
Leaves is a pile of cash. I think
we immediately donated that money because we're benevolent. Matt, what's your favorite part about being an uncle?
I love hanging out with the kids. They're great kids. It's fun. The best part about being an uncle is you have all the fun, and as soon as some drama or anything happens, you pack it up and go home and just let the parents handle the serious stuff. But
Which, Ryan, how do you handle discipline and tantrums with four kids?
They're pretty good, man.
I can't imagine your kids having a tantrum.
They don't really. We haven't had any tantrums. We get emotional sometimes.
How old are they?
In my family, from 5 to 11.
Okay, so. I think they would probably know at 11 there is no tantrum.
Yeah.
The 5-year-old, boy or girl?
Boy. Two girls, two boys.
He slept for like 2 hours on the beach yesterday. It was great for you guys.
He did.
So do they just have that much mad respect that they are just good kids all the time? They don't torment each other or anything?
No, I mean, they're normal kids, but we don't do tantrums.
Yeah.
So I've been lucky that way.
No, he just calmly says like, hey, we don't do that. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? And they just understand. Even when he calls him over, just the youngest one just gets so emotional, just starts crying. He's like, "Wait, why are you crying? I'm just calling you over here. Like, you're not in trouble."
How do you guys spend the holidays?
We just started, to be honest. That's what Matt was getting at earlier. The football stuff made it so hard to do holidays together and see each other. And then we'd get into our off seasons and just didn't want to see anybody. You just like got with your family, you went on a trip, and then you went away. So
you, and you Were you always going to come back to California? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd always make it back out to California. Well, especially my whole family.
Right.
Aside from my sister, my brother-in-law. But I love California. So.
Got to get you down the bubble here.
Yeah. That's another thing. So now I'm in California. It's not good enough. I got to be in Manhattan Beach.
We get you to California.
Yeah.
Now we start creeping a little bit.
Right.
With the plethora of single ladies down here in the South Bay.
Hello. How's the market in Manhattan Beach?
Well, just to sort of clear this up, Matt, you're 6'7"?
6'8".
6'8"?
Yeah.
You were hunching earlier. You're 1.5% body fat, and you're single. You're available. I would say there's a decent, you kind of roll with the pod like this.
That's Hermosa.
Hermosa.
If you dip into Hermosa.
It's Hermosa at like noon.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the weekends.
What about Venice? Venice get a little crazy though. Venice a little too.
Yeah, but there's some good stuff up there.
Yeah,
but
Abbot Kinney's always a hipster scene. You know, you're going to get the guy wearing the fedora and the white painter pants with flip flops.
Some Pharrell vibes a little bit.
You know, it's just awkward, but whatever. Teach their own. It's Venice. I think you would have no problem. The problem is we can't have you in Manhattan Beach because like the moms are.
What's going to make all those ones have to work out all the time?
Like,
no, I already do.
Moms are going to come home with like my neck hurts. I'm like, what happened? I'm looking at this guy over here at MB Post and he's 6'8".
Even today. He walks in the house. Amy's like, oh, hi, Matt. I'm like, hey, let's pump the brakes.
I do give phenomenal massages, though.
Oh, jeez. So, here we go.
That Instagram again is Matt Khalil 69. Is that accurate?
Matthew F. Khalil.
Matthew F. Khalil. All right. Even I'm writing it down.
You did.
I mean, I'm probably, both of you guys, like, this is obviously phenomenal tequila, but I know you guys have been busting butts, and it's been fun to watch the last couple of years. Like, everything, putting it together, the hard work you guys have done.
Appreciate
putting up
that.
A website with you guys kind of standing in the field. Laughing and stuff.
Owner in Angel City, all female. Yeah. LA's new hot team right now. It's great.
I mean,
like they finally get equal pay. You know, as the on the national scene and everything. That was a big to do. That took
those women
freaking forever.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, for all of our female listeners, you're like advocating, you know, goals and like. By the way, women's soccer, women's volleyball are the two most popular sports in our country.
Yeah.
So to have an avenue now where girls don't have to stop playing after college. They can try to aspire to be a professional. You just gave them a platform.
So, well, yeah. Seeing it with and Chris can attest to this, bringing our daughters to the games and seeing their eyes light up.
They
and
love
watching
it.
These
That's
women
it.
Yeah.
And how amazing. I mean, even my brother who came and doesn't have kids, I mean, we're just amazed by
awesome. After this pod,
how amazing. How physical they are too!
It's unbelievable how they just casually kick the ball.
But like we are
yards.
Dominant. Like we are how the European, Italy, England, Germany men's national team. That's our women that are constantly dominant. You know they're going out there kicking ass for our country, and they make us so proud. Now they can come back and get paid good money. There's a platform for them. They can live in the most beautiful city in America.
Yep.
LA's. You know everyone wants to
super,
be here.
It was super festive. Game's awesome. We're right on the field. But even if you're not, there's not a bad seat in that stadium.
It's a good atmosphere.
And then afterwards, all those women come back out. They're going around signing anything you want, taking pictures with the girls. It was just very inspirational. Yeah. It was awesome.
So can you make like your tequila be a sponsor for Angel City? Like, can you just be like, well, I own the team, so I can do that.
I don't know. It'll be tough. One of the owners is Eva Longoria, and she's got a pretty good tequila too. So I think she'll be at the top of that list before we are. But no, I'm happy to come in and support them however I can. I mean, I don't do anything operationally with them other than annoy the owners about my awful ideas on how to make the team better. But that's the stuff that gets me excited. I mean, just seeing our team grow and the league in general. But there's still a lot of work to be done, and it'll get bigger. It'll grow.
I mean,
it's
only six games in.
Six games in, but it's still. Just the NWSL in general.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun.
Excited to see
Sunday night. It's a holiday weekend. We're at the game. Every time they put anybody on the Jumbotron, people went nuts, and just everybody was there, right? I was there. They didn't get me up there, but it's a thing, man. It's turning into a thing. It's awesome. And it's going to be fun to watch it and continue to go to games in that box. Be great.
Do you have any dad jokes? like that you tell your kids that they're like they're so embarrassed about by this time they've heard it 20 times?
I don't know.
Did your dad ever have jokes to you both?
Yeah, but he's actually pretty funny, so it's hard. Frank Khalil, he's kind of life of the party. I mean, look, we love Frank, our mom Cheryl too. I mean, Matt and I appreciate you saying those nice things. I would say again, we're so fortunate and blessed to have great parents. I think that's been a big part of our lives to try to emulate them. Yeah. They're incredibly kind, talented people who always put others first and work their butts off. And so we had great mentors that way at home. And I think for us, it's a natural thing to want to pay it forward. And I will say, as a compliment to you guys too, and especially to you, Chris, the one thing my dad taught us early on was, you know, to constantly keep good company with you. And, yep. My dad was a really great lifter, and he'd always say, and he told me this before we went to SC, he would say, when you get to SC, they're going to team you up or they're going to ask you to find a lifting partner. He said, don't find somebody that's the same strength as you or weaker. Always find somebody stronger than you, and they raise your bar.
Yep.
And then he said, do that with friends too. And so I always have tried to do that my whole life, is to try to find people that aren't equal to me or that are lesser than me in talents or character. And I've always tried to find people that I look up to and build up. So, and I mean that sincerely about you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Parrish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great advice. That is awesome. Yeah. Bad advice.
We're blessed to be in a community of
with the caveat of Cassio though. No, Cassio's the one that he's the one you get one, I think, in your friend group. He's the one that I think is the exception.
He's iffy. But he's got a golf cart. And it's nice. And he introduced me to tequila.
Dude,
Paris. I told you when we were playing in the treehouse, we were playing Madden. Mm-hmm. And it was before you moved into the house. You were still building. I said, you're gonna be moving in near this guy. His name is Evan Cassio. You guys are gonna be fast friends.
Hey, you were right. I love that guy so much.
Yeah.
And I brought him around to my brother one time, and Matt and him kicked it off out the gate.
Yeah. I love
it. It's amazing. Matt, you and I have to go to Third Street Tattoo in Hermosa.
What are we doing?
Just getting tattoos, man.
All right.
Yeah, you're starting to build it up a little bit over there.
But he can't handle it.
The sleeves start.
Are you done? Is it over now?
He said that 3-4 tattoos ago.
That's not how it goes. It starts speedboating. No. Once you get a couple, you're done. Amy keeps saying, like,
when is it going to be enough?
I'm like, listen, what are we doing here? I've already had them when we met, you know?
So. I don't judge. My only thing is, I'm always curious what the thought process is to get something that's going to be on you forever.
Yeah.
Like, I just always wonder that. Yeah. He decided to put my dad's face on there, even though he won't
say. It does
kind
of look like him.
He went super Celtic on all of it.
Mine are just the kids drawing shit now.
Nordic.
Whatever.
Leif.
You put dad's face on your arm.
Hey. Got him with me forever.
So what's the next one?
Huh?
What's the next one?
That's it. I'm done.
Yeah, right.
No, you're not. We're going to go next week. I got free time now, baby.
What's the date today?
Huh? We got this on record. May 31st.
May 31st. This is the last one. It. Forearm, and I'm done.
June 6th.
That's it.
We're going.
Well, let's end it with, Ryan, how do you want to be remembered as a dad?
Oh, geez. This got really deep all of a sudden.
Wait till we hit Matt here.
How do I want to be remembered as a dad? I want to be remembered to my kids or to everyone else or to myself.
To yourself, that you could like take peace.
I think that I did everything in my power to make sure my kids, that my kids felt believed in anything they did. They felt supported and believed in. I think that's the most important thing because that happened for me.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of doubt, self-doubt. I had a lot of external doubt and my parents always did a great job in making me authentically feel like I had a fighting chance that I could do whatever I wanted if I took the proper steps, if I laid out the proper roadmap.
Yeah.
And did it in a way that didn't feel so esoteric and like, you can do anything you put your mind to.
Right.
Like really specifically gave me realistic support in anything I did. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Matt, no pressure on you, but when that time comes.
When that time comes.
What are you looking most forward to?
Oh, man, that's tough. I got a lot of feelings about that. But I just think having just a healthy child, first of all.
Yeah.
I think being that person that's, like, to the extent of what Ryan said, that's always going to be supportive. But no matter what, they have that one person in their life that they can always turn to.
Yeah.
And never be scared to tell me anything or come to me with whatever they're going through in their life, and being that outlet.
Yeah, that's 100%. So. I say to my kids all the time, like, it doesn't matter how mad you think I'm going to be, the option, right. That's always better than...
I can only imagine what that feeling's like having kids, but I can't imagine what it'll come to when I actually do have a kid. So it'll probably be even more intense than that.
And when your kids come to you and say, I'm going to Ohio State, how's that going to work out?
We love that. We can't wait for that.
Is that going to be supported?
No. No. I do think about that sometimes because, like, obviously I want my kids to go to Michigan, but then, like, we're in California. We have great schools, you know, plus USC. And, you know, if my daughter's like, I want to go to UCLA or something, like, how much am I going to be able to fight that? I don't know.
We just asked Chip.
I don't know. My daughter's throwing out, like, random schools right now. She's got it all mapped out.
What's the number one?
Alabama. Oh,
really?
She's like, I'm going to Alabama. Yeah.
How's her soccer team good?
I was like, what? Why Alabama? I just think it's a really great school. I'm like, what? You're 11. You don't know that.
All right. Well. Thank you guys so much. This has been
fantastic.
Thank you,
buddy.
I'm proud of you both.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is amazing. Thanks for sharing half a bottle with us. I appreciate you guys leaving the bottle. It was very thoughtful of you. Thanks to Shades Brewing for our Pina Colada American
Style Sour. It
actually
is. It's really good. This beer is really good.
No, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, Kenny Schmage will keep on sending them out, buddy. Friend of the pod, Kurt. Thank you for Shades Brewery. Thank you to Postal.io. Again, go to Postal.io/dads and... sign up to get some free stuff. And then thank you for the Believe Network. And basically, thanks for taking the time to listen to our Dad's Night podcast brought to you by Believe Network. Please like and share it with a friend or two that you think would enjoy this ridiculous banter. Because after all, Dad's Night is where...
ridiculous becomes reality. Tommy, what's our Instagram handle?
Dad's Night Podcast.
And it's not private, it's public.
It is public.
Do we have an email address?
We do. Dadsnightpodcast@gmail.com.
I love it. Thank you, everybody.
All right, have a good one.